hearts. As we worship you today in spirit and in truth, as we sing the next song, I want to draw your attention to two pictures up in the front. These are children who've been rescued out of more desperate situations than you can even imagine. These children, see if you can zone in on their faces and their eyes. They're worshiping Jesus because they're in love with Jesus. They love Jesus. They're thankful and grateful for all he's done. They know him personally. They've cried out for his fire. They've cried out for him to heal their hearts. And they're using the very ribbons that are like the ribbons here. The ones, children, that you are using today. We made them for these children too. These children are from a variety of nations, but they're in northern India right now. They've been rescued out of desperate things that would just make your heart cry. And we've seen these children, but they're in love with Jesus. And the Lord says, today, as you look at this next picture, look at these eyes of the children. These children have found their true love. These children have found their true hope. They have found their Savior, and they have been rescued out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, for these children. This little girl in the front right on the bottom, she was being beaten by a policeman when Pastor Benjamin saw her because she came up to his window and begged. So he was slapping her, she's 4 years old, and pushing her on the ground and ready to kick her in the stomach and the ribs when he got out of the car and he said, "Get your hands off her." The Lord has called us to rescue those out of darkness, no matter the age. And she has found safety in the hands of Jesus and the hands of those who love her. Let us worship the Lord this morning with gratitude in our hearts for our risen Savior we celebrate today. The safe place that we have today. Lord, we bless you today for rescuing us and rescuing these little ones. We praise you today for salvation and healing and deliverance, Lord. And Lord, we worship you without abandon. We worship you with the fire inside because you've set us free to go set others free. That's the heart of our reformer. That's the call on this church. And the Lord says, let's worship him. Let's worship him and praise him. You're a good God. We worship you this morning. We're in love with you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, and nothing will hold us back. No distraction, no problem, no pain. You are the King, and we adore you today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's raise our voices and tell the Lord how much you love him. Yes, Lord. With everything inside. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we live in your love and mercy. Oh. Oh. Hosanna, we sing to you, Lord, in the highest. Oh, children, sing out, Hosanna. We are so blessed. Harabashaka. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Jesus.
Love you. We praise you, O Lord, in this house this morning. Love you with everything inside of us, Lord. And we're praising you for a grand release and visitation from you. We're believing for that, Lord. We're believing for that. We're believing for you to come and make yourself known in this house, in this place, in our hearts. We're believing for that, Lord. We're believing that nothing around us will keep us from receiving you. That your eye is looking, searching to and fro around the world, just looking for those whose hearts are completely yours. And Father, to those you make yourself known, you show yourself strong. The word says you strongly support. And Father, we're believing and we're trusting that your eye has been found on us. And Father, we're just saying that today is a new day for us, and we celebrate you, and we thank you, Lord, that as we continue to climb higher and higher in our awareness and our connection with you, Lord, that we'll never turn back and we'll only desire more of you and a greater, greater presence, Lord, a greater release of glory and fire in this place. We're trusting for that, Lord. Our voices match that decree and that declaration. We say, yes, Lord. We climb higher in that new dimension of glory. The glory realm that's open to us. The glory realm of heaven over this place. We thank you, Lord, that we celebrate you as angels ascend and descend. Oh, to and fro, Lord God. And that our eyes are open to the heavenly kingdom. The kingdom that knows no end. For we are spirit, Lord God, and we live in two dimensions. And we thank you, Lord, that your dimension, the glory realm, is our eternal home. Thank you, Lord, for eternity. We praise you that we can love you and be loved by you for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, that nothing stops us. There is no mountain too high, no valley too deep, that you are not in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for your powerful release. Holy One, Holy One, you have our hearts. Thank you, Lord. You are glorious. You are magnificent. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tell him you love him, saints. Let it come out of your mouth. Open your mouth and tell him how much you love him. Speak to him. Sing to him. Tell Jesus who he is. Tell him of your love. Celebrate. We love you. We love you. We love you. I love you, my Jesus. You're everything to me. You're everything to me. There's nothing greater than you. You are all sufficient one. Tell him how you feel. Connect with him now. A heart connection that lasts forever and ever and grows stronger and stronger. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, Rabashiki. Love you, Jesus. Oh, Rabashana na ye karabas. Let your fire come. We exalt you, O One. We exalt you in this house. Your praise, Lord, be on our lips. Oh, Rabashiki.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just celebrate your simplicity today, and we say yes, Lord, to more. Thank you, Lord. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. And no rejection or offense in heaven. No heartache. Lord, thank you that we can live in that heavenly zone and that heavenly realm right now. As we live in this earth, who can figure what a great gift you are? We celebrate you. Just love you, just love you, just love you, just love you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you. Shine through us, Lord God. You radiate your glory in this place. Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. You are so good. I just see a picture of a tsunami wave. So, this tsunami wave is not meant to destroy. It's meant to empower and it's meant to bless. The Lord says it's not good enough to sing about it. We need to experience it. And we can experience the tumult now. And the Lord says, this is our day to experience Him. And we can do this. And the Lord says, keep your eyes on me and nowhere else. And your schedules won't matter. Oh. 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 Wow, that's a good word. Wow. Oh God, oh God. May you find us faithful. Just want to draw your attention. I was prompted to pick up the news little thingy we call whatever it is, bulletin thing. I draw your attention to it, and there's a little lavender paper in here that many of you received by email. And if we don't have your email, you didn't. If you don't have email, you didn't. So we don't have it, or you don't have it. But we ask you to read through this and ask you to partner with us and to join in. We ask you to join in, and we thank you, Lord God. That you are the reason for everything in our life. You are the reason, Lord God. And we come and we worship you. We celebrate you because you are more important than our sleep. You're more important than our way. And you're more important than our schedules. You're more important. You reign. You are more important. And as we finished the 8 days of worship in the evenings for a couple of hours worship, if you remember last week, it was wonderful. It was very powerful. There were visions, there were words, there were dreams as people slept later, and there were experiences of fire and experiences of God that were just taking us to a new dimension. How many of us want to go into a new place? How many of us know that the kingdom of God knows no end? Let me say that again. How many of us know that the kingdom of God knows no end? That means He knows exactly what we're feeling, exactly what we're thinking, exactly what we're experiencing, what we've gone through, what we're going to go through. He's totally on top of it. He's not surprised. He's not bothered. He's not agitated. He is not anything but just calm in spirit. He's calm in spirit because He is spirit. So He understands everything. And so we're inviting you to continue this 8 days. We're just inviting you to continue this in Jesus' name. And celebrate with us as we pray between now and when we celebrate Jesus again, Resurrection Sunday. Okay? Easter Sunday is the world's way of calling it Resurrection Sunday, except they don't know the resurrection. So we're just calling it resurrection because that's what it is. We're celebrating resurrection of Jesus again and again and again. So that's what we're referring to when we say Resurrection Sunday. Just so that we are clear on that. We're not against the name Easter. We're just celebrating resurrection of Jesus, okay? But on here we're saying, if you would like to join us and continue to pray with us and fast between now and then, when we wrote this, it was about 16 days, I think, so it was a few days ago. But maybe it's 14, 13 days now, I don't know, until Resurrection Sunday. We're inviting you to do this as you feel led. That means you say, Holy Spirit, what do you think? Here's what I'm sensing, and he'll say, go for it. Okay? So grab a partner, fast as you so desire, whatever that would be. And then we invite you to participate in the Global Bridegroom Fast we've been participating in for about 6 years, I think, or seven. I don't really know how many years, maybe six and a half. And that's a fast that we do every month where we're fasting for 3 days. You know, this is a house of prayer, and the Lord has shown us that when you are a house of prayer, you pray, fast, and worship. Kind of simple. So that's what we are. And that's what all places of worship really are. And so we ask you to take some steps and educate yourself. We have a whole little table out in the back by the door. And that table has everything you'd ever want to know for the moment about prayer, fasting, and things that we do here in this realm. As far as getting together and, you know, praying all night, things like that. Why do we do that? Because the Lord says so. Tells us to. Gives us desires and choices. Desires and... I need a new mic. Can I have a mic? Whoop. I think Pastor Bill's going to need one unless he has a lapel. So we're just going to ask you to consider that, to consider educating yourself and finding out more information in the back about what a house of prayer is and all the different flyers that are back there. Grab some and read them over coffee tomorrow or during your lunch or something. And then just plug in and jump in so that we can pray and fast and stand and worship together, and we're just in unison together, and the Lord's going to say, what an army of people who just are crazy in love with me, and they want to get closer to me, and they want to understand more and more of my kingdom heart and my kingdom ways. We want to understand his kingdom ways so we can flow in them. Amen? Amen. You saw pictures of the little kids up in northern India, some from the streets, some from Cambodia, some who have been in brothels. You saw those kids, and they're waving the same ribbons that we are, little ones, and big ones wave here. Come on. Lord's saying, I have called you into this place of darkness to bring the glory, and I've done it for you. And I'm trusting you with it. But there's keys to the unfolding of God's glory. And that's incredible worship, incredible passion, and understanding and moving with the rhythm of his heartbeat and the flow of the kingdom. And when we worship the Lord, as we worship him and pray and fast together and stand, all these things together, oh my gosh, the Lord says, this is a place that loves me. So this place that loves me is taking a step forward. So when you read this, jump in. Jump in. Jump in and say yes. We invite you. No one will know. No one's going to call you. No one's going to say, how many days did you fast? How many days did you pray? How many days? I don't care what you do. But the Lord's watching and saying, I invite you to continue the heart cry that I saw from heaven. When we worshiped here 8 days straight and then came in on Tuesday, and we had last Sunday morning too, it was amazing. Amazing power and glory. None like it. It's like, whoa, God, what are you doing here and in Ohio? Amazing. I gotta think of another word for amazing, marvelous, stupendous, over the top. I was like, wow, she gets excited. Who wouldn't get excited? I believe Holy Spirit's excited. And if he lives in us, he's excited. And he's saying, let me out. If you're not excited, he's not being let out. Because if you know him, if you know the Lord, he lives in you. If you don't know Holy Spirit, it's time. Get to know him. He's your best friend. Oh, this is a way. So I invite you to consider that. And then right before Resurrection Sunday, that week, We have the privilege of fasting together Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the global bridegroom fast, crying out, Jesus, you're coming back again soon. Lord, we're not just singing really good songs, picking a good one because they like to sing and dance. This is really the tenor of our heart. And you can't hold it down. When it's in you, it has to be released like this. When it's in fire. If you're on fire, the fire is released. If you're not on fire, need to be on fire. I'm not a fire. God's the fire. But he's saying, I want to fire you up. If you've got your plan for how you're going to get there, it's going to take a very long time. If it's his plan, really, it's going to shorten. We're going to see acceleration so fast. So fast. Acceleration means like, whoa, 0 to 100 in a second. This is what we're seeing. These are the kinds of miracles that we saw in India and in Indonesia. These are the kinds of miracles that God wants to bring to the new country, to Singapore. I'm telling you, God did things so quickly, so fast, so amazing. We're standing back. Michelle couldn't even keep up. Well, she did keep up, but she was trying like, I can't write this fast. Oh my gosh, people are getting healed, saved, delivered. Amazing things. The Lord says, do you care? Do you care about my acceleration? Does it really get you? When you see those little kids up there, does it really get your heart? Do you say, how dare that policeman want to kick that girl in the ribs? How dare he take a 4-year-old girl and pound her and slap her to the ground? Does that make you angry? It makes me angry, can you tell? How? But the ministries that we partner with, they carry that same rage, but it's a violent rage of love. I'm very sad for that policeman. I'm praying for him. But I'm so happy to see that little girl in that picture with her eyes closed going, oh, Jesus, I love you. And she was saved before he kicked her in the ribs and took her out. Why am I so passionate? Because I am a lover and I'm in love. And I want to extend that to anyone who has that desire, that heart, that grabs your heart. Then you see me after church. It's not sensationalism. It's just the truth. Well, don't you have patience for the people who are in process? Yes, I was telling my sister yesterday, I think I have more patience developed through me and in me than ever before because more love is being released. But it doesn't take the violent, the righteousness against evil out. It just gives it avenues to be moved through so that change can come in acceleration. And we will be going back to Indonesia and India sooner than we think. Because God wants to do something big. Been in India to these places. Bless them, Lord, and save them out of that. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we hear an alarm. We hear a siren. And Lord, there is danger there. But Lord, we take that as a prophetic word for us right now. He says, I'm going to let you hear that right now. In Jesus' name. And say that I'm coming. I'm releasing. Now, did she make that up? No, she didn't. She just heard that. See, God works on many levels. And that's what he's trying to say to us. I want you to see me in all the places that I work. Not just what your brain is saying at the moment. I want you to see. That's what revelation is. So there's a real increase in revelation that God's bringing to this body. To the body of Christ at large. Wow. It's amazing when the Lord shows up and speaks to you. You just can't help but release him. And I know he's speaking to all of us and he's saying, please, in my loving care, take me so seriously. Because I'm a lover. I'm just not bothered. But I'm seeing people that I want to see rescued and freed and helped. And I can use you. Learn me, my love. Learn my ways. Don't be content. Heart of a reformer is one that once you have that heart, nothing stops you. Do you see that? Nothing. No one, no place, nothing will stop you. Lord, I want that heart because that's your heart. It's a reformer's heart. Not content with simple things anymore. So in Jesus' name, just encourage you to read this, pray and fast with us, and mark on your calendar. Yeah, there's an all-night prayer time on the night before Resurrection Sunday, and that is, two nights, Friday night. It's 10 to 6. But I believe it's going to be off the charts, over the top. It's going to be amazing because God's in it, and I'm calling you out in Jesus' name with love. You don't come, you don't come, but I'm calling because that's my call to call. Prepare ye the way for the Lord. We sang about that all week. Do you mean it? The Lord says, I believe this house does. So in Jesus' name, take a step into the unknown and be a risk taker. Hannah, can you come up really quick before you go to the bathroom? Just come up really quick. I met her in the bathroom a little bit ago. And I said, how are you doing, sweetie? She goes, oh, I'm good. Tell them what you just said to me. I said, how are you feeling? I don't know why. She goes, well, I had strep throat, but.
Well, on Thursday, I missed school because my mom made a doctor's appointment. And my throat that night had swollen up so much that I couldn't sleep and I couldn't breathe and couldn't swallow, couldn't drink anything. And Christy called me because I didn't tell her I hadn't gone to school. She just calls me after school, and I called Tiana before school, and they're my focus group leaders. And she prayed for me, and I wasn't really receiving it. I thought, like, I was just kind of distracted, but that night, my strep throat should have lasted, he said, 12 days, and it went away completely. My throat, like, it was fine, like 100% back to normal. So, great.
Same God who gets people out of wheelchairs. This is what we're seeing here. We're seeing quick things, quick turnarounds. That's our God. So, amen. Oh, you have a mic. Oh, good. Hallelujah. Children.
There goes most
children.
Of the audience.
Children. Hey, Spencer. Children are released to kingdom land.
Yeah, dude. Good to see ya. Why not?
Oh, yeah. There went most of my audience. Oh, well. Yeah, on there, testing.
I see green back here. Take us to a different place. want us to live in a different world. Only you can do that, Holy Spirit. I'm relying on you. I know what I'm made of. And I'm learning what you're made of. And I like what you're made of. I'm just praying that you will speak. You will speak to hearts. You get in there. You know how to do it. If there's even the smallest opening, flood through that opening, Holy Spirit. Okay? So that lives are changed permanently. Not just another meeting. But it becomes an encounter with you, Holy Spirit. It becomes more than blah, 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 Lord, to our hearts, to our ears. Give us a real awakening. Open us up to the sweetness we have for us. We're willing to step in at this moment. Worship has opened our hearts. Now, Father, help us not to close up because of the fears that overtake us, but open up because of your love. Thank you, Lord. We believe you're here. We believe you're ready to impart to us, change us, if we're willing, Lord. We step forward. We take the step forward that it takes. We don't lay back in the weeds and wait for you to come to us. We step toward you. We run back home to you, Lord. Here we are, we present ourselves to you. We don't wait for your love to overtake us. We dive towards it, Lord. Pray for Jackson Township. This is the third siren in less than 12 hours that I've heard, Father. Just ask you to do it. Touch that person, touch that family. God. We look for you to do the same with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, when you meet people and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there can be a lot of things that flood your mind. You can start having fear that, oh my gosh, I have a responsibility here. I'm in the sphere of this person. They're here more than 30 seconds. Start feeling the responsibility to be a light for Jesus. And so many things flood our minds. You know, where do I start? What do I say? What should I bring up? I mean, should I talk about the news? You know, kind of come in from that angle? Should I just ask them how their life's going? Should I be more direct or indirect? But I think there's a couple of things that we can agree on. People need to be drawn closer to Jesus. Even if they're believers. So many believers that we meet, they don't really know God that well. They don't know the Father's love that well. And if we do, we have a responsibility. You know, draw them closer to Jesus. That's not so hard. You can give a testimony. And they'll be drawn closer to Jesus. You can just tell them what's going on in your life. Something he's done in the last 24 hours or the last week. You don't have to think about the greatest thing Jesus has ever done for you. Start with the last 24 hours. That touches people's lives. That you're that in tune with God, that he's done something for you in the last 24 hours. I can't think of one thing God has done for me in the last 24 years. So even the smallest thing can start the conversation that draws them closer to Jesus. I don't know, there's several groups that go around, go door to door, and for some reason they kind of let you know who they are before they show up at your door. I don't know if you've seen those people walking down the road or whatever. They always walk in two. Usually have some white on. on somewhere, and they, you know, carry books, and they'll eventually end up at your door or your apartment or someplace, and you know, the message they have pretty weak. I'll tell you the truth, real weak. So you know, I'll let them talk for a little bit. And I'll say, you know, I just got a question for you. Just a question. What has God done for you in the last 6 months? Where has he touched your life in the last 6 months? And I've had them say things like, well, the air I breathe, that's from God. I'll point out the fact that, you know, there may be possibly some unbelieving neighbors in my neighborhood, and they breathe that same air. You know, how about something a little better than that? Come on. What has God done for you in the last 6 months? Well, you know, I have my health. Once again. Many neighbors here, they don't follow Jesus. They don't care about God that much. They have their health. But what has he done specific for you in the last 6 months? And they're befuddled by the question. They don't know what to say. So it's very easy to say to them, why would I want what you're going door to door to give out? So, invariably, they say, so what has he done for you in the last 6 months? Awesome! Getcha! And as I start to tell them, the ones that were so eager to get into my house and tell me their picture of God and everything about the Bible, they've got it down, they've got it figured out. And there's usually an older one and a younger one, one in training. So I always look at the younger one. I don't even bother with the one that's, you know, the trainer. I look at the younger one. And, I'm speaking to them because they still have a chance. And the other one does too, one revelation away. But that younger one, they're like, and I'm just being nice. I'm being gentle, but they're, because it's just too much revelation coming in their direction. And it's basic to us that follow the King. But since they don't really know God, it's like huge to them. And after about 45 minutes of telling them what God has done in the last week, let alone the last 6 months, they want to run from my house. Now, they wanted to get into my house. What happened? What happened? Jesus, a real relationship with him. Because he shows up moment by moment, second by second. He doesn't show up once in a lifetime or show up in theology. He shows up for real. He impacts my life every day if I'm following him as a kingdom person. I like that. And when people here catch that, you know, and they can't wait to talk to that coworker or that person in school, or they're looking for opportunities in the mall or Kmart or Walmart, or they purposely go there and create opportunity. It's awesome because people need to be drawn closer to Jesus. The second thing with people, I'm trying to narrow it down so when you see a person in front of you, you don't have so many things scrambling around in your head. Of course, maybe you're not that way. Maybe you have it all focused out. I tend to have too many things going on. I want to be focused down to what the real needs might be. So here's a second thought. People have fear. People need to be drawn closer to Jesus, whether they know him or not, and people have fear. I was thinking about our trip to India and Indonesia and Singapore. I was thinking, how many times did we run into people that had fear? over and over and over again. Now, to tell you the truth, most pastors I know would say, well, I know the answer. More faith. They need to rise up in more faith. They need to, you know, sow into that field and faith grow, and then they won't have fear. And I honestly believe that, and I've taught that before. But I think there's a different way to handle fear now, especially after this trip, after seeing what really takes out fear in people in about 5 minutes, you know, as far as fear of us. And then, you know, they have some really deep fears that God's going to begin working on, and it might not be done in 5 minutes, but it's sure going to get started. They can't be fearing us, the ones that are actually going to impart something good to them from the Lord. We have to get by that first, just their fear of us. And I saw time and time and time again God come in and take the fear out of people that quick towards us. And suddenly their eyes, rather than being like, who are these people and what are they doing in my house? How'd they get into this house? Who invited them here? These houses, pretty big, and the family member invites us in, and suddenly they're called in to be called, be prayed for by these pastors from America. They don't know what to expect, and the fear in their face. How do we get rid of that so we can get down to helping them draw closer to Jesus and getting rid of the real deep fears in their life? How do we do that? We can't do that. Holy Spirit has to do that for us somehow, some way. So if I started talking to them, well, you know, just need to have faith for your healing or whatever their problem happens to be. You just need more faith. I don't think the fear is going to go away. I really don't. In fact, it might enhance it. I need more faith. I already know that. Oh my gosh, I don't have any faith at all. Oh! I'll never be healed. Oh, I'll never get rid of these feelings of God not loving me. Oh, or faith. Oh, that's too big of a challenge. Instead, what takes the fear out is when we can draw close to people, just gently get on our knees before them and offer the Father's love to them. I'm telling you, the fear starts to go away like that. Rather than speaking, you need great faith to have your problem solved, we just say, let us just love on you. How about receiving some of the Father's love right about now? You know what? People are so much living in a desert, they like a little water. They like that. They like that the Father likes them, loves them, wants to be around them, sings over them. They love it. And the fear about us goes away like that. Oh, we're giving out love. You're giving out love? This is awesome. I'm glad I showed up. They're ready. They're desperate for love. So I'm saying to you today that two things. When you see a person and they're in front of you for more than 30 seconds, you feel that, start to, what do I say, what do I do? Think of two things. They need to be drawn closer to Jesus, and somehow you need to find a way to love on them with the Father's love. Because they have fear. Some kind of fear. Fear that God doesn't love them. Fear that other people don't love them. Fear that they're not liked. Fear that, you know, they're not good enough. They're failures. Fear, 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 fear. I mean, there's a whole list of fears. If you go on the internet, by the way, and you look up phobias, oh my golly. That's a study and a half. There's so many fears that are named. They have a name, and they put phobia behind it. I remember being in one meeting and they said, everyone that wants to be a missionary, stand up. And, you know, all kinds of people wanted to be in missions at this big meeting. I thought, that's awesome. But then the speaker said, and if you have a fear of flying, come down to the front. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe 10 people will come out of that group and come down to the front because, you know, they probably already covered that issue. They want to be missionaries. They want to go to the nations. They probably already thought about that you can't have a fear of flying. No. A whole bunch of them came down to the front. It filled the front. People that had a fear of flying. How in the world are you going to get on the plane to Mozambique if fear overtakes you and you have a fear of flying? That has to be solved first, wouldn't you say? I mean, I don't know how you're going to swim that far. I have a fear of flying. I'm going to swim to Mozambique. I don't know how, but I'm not getting up in that tube that's flying around the air. So, you know, all those people were set free by Jesus, by Holy Spirit, of a fear that prevented them from moving forward. I'm saying today, there just might be a couple people here like that. And it might be long-standing. And your fears come out in some other way. It's not like you're sitting in the corner going, you know, if that was happening around here, I'm afraid you'd have like 10 people all over you praying for you. So, you know, it's not quite that easy. It comes out in things like depression. Now, when we're doing worship, kind of hard to find depression, you know, here in the group that's gathered here. But at home, there are people dealing with depression. It comes out in complaining. I love when it gets quiet. I feel so close to God. Be still. Oh, I am. And everyone else is too. Complaining. Griping, grousing. Now, the reason I know this, I am so good at it. Boy, I got some shake of the heads there. Before that, everybody was frozen in place. But as soon as I say I'm good at something, agreement. Awesome. How do I know that fears come out in, you know, getting upset? Because I have to trust Holy Spirit to work in me. So I know fear comes out in all these different expressions. Come out in rejection. Oh, It's a fear. It's a fear. Even if somebody doesn't like you, it can change. I said it can change. And it has. There have been people that can't stand my guts. And Holy Spirit was strong enough to turn that around. I didn't turn it around, you know, by being extra nice to them, sending them birthday presents, Christmas presents, you know, cards in the mail, flowers. Holy Spirit worked on their heart, turned them around. Sometimes after years, and I didn't even see the person. They couldn't even see that I was growing in Jesus. To like me better or not reject me. They didn't even see me. Holy Spirit worked on the person, and I would get this note in the mail, please forgive me for, or something to that effect. Well, that's a great thing. Holy Spirit's working on the people that don't like you, even when you're not working on it. Kind of awesome. It's a good thing. Let's see, some other things. manipulation, withholding affection, withholding love, unsanctified opinion, preference. Oh, I just prefer to do this rather than this over here. Are you going to discuss that with leadership? No. Do it. I prefer it. I don't see anything wrong with this suggestion that I have, this way of doing it. Want to run that by you? Nope. Don't want to do it. Just want to do it. It's my thing, and it's not their thing, and I'm not going to discuss that thing with them. They don't have anything to do with this. But I'm in unity. I dedicated kingdom Christian. I don't have to run everything by those people. Well, that's true. You don't. In fact, you don't have to. There's no law or rule. You don't have to run anything by God either. No law, no rule. You're free. You're free. Just be free. Make your choices. He's not, you know, sitting up there with a great big stick anymore. Never was. But definitely not in the New Testament is he up there with a big stick waiting for you to move off the path a little bit so he can come in and whop you one. No. Punishment is gone. Fear should be gone. But it's not. It's still around to haunt us. But it comes out in these other ways. You're not shaking in the corner. You know, you're able to conduct yourself through life. You've learned little strategies as to how to get through. Okay? But there may be a deficit of love inside of your life that causes you to fear some things that you don't even need to. We have a couple of potholes or two. I don't know, you know, in the spring, there's, you drive around and you're trying to avoid potholes. I don't know, maybe you don't have that problem. I hit them a lot more than I want to. But a pothole in a roadway is not a good thing. And there are people that have the job to go out and fill those in. So there's one, a couple of potholes. Sometimes you'll see those orange cones. But the ones where they don't have the orange cones, those are the ones that get you. Wow. So let's say that the roadway is the kingdom community. The roadway is the kingdom community. And here you are, not your whole life, just a part of you has a deficit of love. Okay? And traffic is going to be going over that, more than likely, quite a bit. The traffic of ministry and the traffic of life. And here you are, with a love deficit. Do you think that would affect the rest of the roadway? Sure it will. That one looked like it grew. You know, as the traffic of life and ministry hits that pothole, that thing's going to grow. It's going to spread. Your love deficit could be affecting others in the body, affecting others in the kingdom. He said, well, I know I've got some of that, but come on, everybody's got some of that. Well, it's true. But what does Jesus want to do? He wants to fill that in. And I don't know if you've ever seen them work on roadways, but I saw a truck this last week. They come and they back up, and they dump this asphalt in a hole like that. Now look at that. That more than covered the hole. I don't know. It more than covered it. In fact, when that guy tamps it down and, you know, a few cars run over it and so on, I mean, that thing is more than filled. In fact, it's now overflowing with the asphalt, right? But over time, the traffic of life and ministry kind of press it down. And that, you know, that's what Jesus does for us. He puts in more love, has more love around than what we need. So picture this in your spirit. You're down in the hole, the real you. You can't see over the edge because it's a pretty deep pothole. It's a deficit of love in your life. And yet all around the pothole has been dropped all the love that you possibly could need for your life and overflowing. As the traffic of life runs over you, traffic of life and ministry. There's more love than you could possibly even need that's available for you. And yet, you may have a pothole there, a deficit that is causing you to fear. You fear something. And it might be the hallmark of your life to the point that when someone comes up to share the Father's love with you or wants to minister to you, it's possible that you run. Rather than running towards it, you run away. I'm saying today there are some in here that are running away from the very love that Father wants to overflow your life to fill in those potholes, the deficit of love that leads to all those fears. And we saw that everywhere we went overseas. You would walk up to a person, they'd say, oh, she's a Christian, but she's fearing something in her life. And it comes out by, well, you know, what should we pray for? Well, they've already got by the fear of us because we've just lavished some love on them for a few minutes and prayed over them for a few minutes. And so now they're going to share from their heart. And I'm not even sure they always know they're going to blurt out many things about what their fear is. You know, I think I shared last week, Olivia, her fear was, we've gone through 8 years of disappointment. Not having a baby as a young couple. Now we've gone through this process of in vitro fertilization with my husband, and I have done that. And now we're at the point of finding out whether the Father loves us enough to be part of that process and allow us to have a child. Now that's a pretty whopper of a fear. Not knowing that your Father can't wait to be part of that process. He wants to encourage you and lift you up. And no matter how the steps of it go, if it takes, you know, several stages for this to bring about the birth of a child or whatever, he wants to be part of that. And there's a lot of mysteries in it. Guaranteed. Do you receive the Father's love and overflowing over that deficit, over that fear, so that it completely covers it and you have full faith the Father loves you, you're treasured, he cares about this situation, he's moving closer to you, he wants to be part of this problem and bring in his righteous right arm and stand on your behalf. He's with you, he's for you, he's in you. You know him. And he's active. He's not waiting for you to jump over some kind of a hurdle, go through a series of hoops, have so much faith that it would move a mountain. waiting to love us in those situations and calm our fears and fill in that deficit of love. And so we prayed over Olivia, and before she found out, within a few days, the fear had already left. How many know when fear leaves, oops, the enemy doesn't have much of a weapon anymore? He can't really get involved anymore. The door has been shut in his face. I'd like to see more of you shut the door in his face. I'd like to see me do it more often. I'd like to see us face our fears. The ones that we don't want to admit to anybody we have. Or we've admitted it, but we've admitted it 55,000 times. And we really haven't received the love to have it filled in so it's no longer a deficit. We almost glory in it. Yeah, you know, I have a fear. This or that. No. I've prayed. They've prayed. Everybody's prayed. And that fear has not left, you know. It hasn't gone anywhere. Still around. You know, that's an impossibility. There's a lie in there somewhere. That fear can't stay there. Prayer's got to be much more powerful than that. Come on. Well, it didn't work. It didn't take it. You know, I tried to follow Jesus. It didn't work. It didn't take it. That's an impossibility. Because it wasn't up to you in the first place. It's up to his supernatural power within you. There's got to be a disconnect there. You believe in a lie, and then that becomes powerful. When you believe the lie, or you believe the fear. That becomes powerful. That allows the enemy to kind of really clean your clock. But as far as a lie and fear to stand, it can't stand against the truth. It's too powerful. It's the truth free. Can't stand against the love of God because it's too powerful. It fills in holes. To overflowing. So what happens with the person if they allow this to continue for very long? There are several people that know that they have fears that they won't take care of. And it's hard on leadership. Because they would like to help. But it's almost like, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. But they never really want to pray for that part of me. They don't want prayer for that part. They want prayer for something else that they've decided to have as a substitute. Pray for me. I need a guy. I need a guy in my life. God's not giving it to me. I need a girl in my life, and God's not giving it to me. That's what I need. To take care of all this, that deficit of love I have. Really? I don't think I helped Mary with a deficit of love if she ever had it. At all when I showed up. Jesus had already taken care of that. I didn't, you know, take care of a deficit of love. Did I love her? Yeah. Buy flowers? Yeah. Cards? Yeah. Take her out to dinner? But I didn't come in and the white, you know, a guy on a white horse and solve her deficit of love. That's a big lie. I said, that's a big lie. You know, it's okay that I'm the knight on a white horse riding in, and she, my heart. I love you. Oh, you're wonderful. Come down here. We'll walk through the field together. Bliss. Loving bliss. Hand in hand. That's awesome. But I didn't fill in her deficit of love. Jesus did. I love her to pieces. I want to be with her the rest of my life. 120. Okay. But I didn't take care of her deficit of love. Jesus takes care of that. He's the one that fills it in, takes care of the fears. I can pray towards that end. I can support. I can, you know, add my love. Wow. Woo! To Jesus' love. But I don't take care of any deficit. And neither do you. And neither will that future person. They're not going to take care of a deficit of love. And all your fears go away. No. You're going to have those fears if you kept them and brought them into the marriage. And then what's going to happen? Ooh. You know, so you want to get that moving in the right direction where Jesus takes care of that before you enter into the traffic of marriage or traffic of relationships in a deeper way. Because it's going to pound on you. It's going to test whether that has really been filled in by Jesus. Some of you are finding that out in ministry. Now, you know, Pastor Mary Pat and I are not the only ministers here. I know that. She knows that. Leadership knows that. They still give us a raise. What we're trying to do is give you more of our job. Isn't that great? We give you more of our job and we get a raise. That's awesome. That's like kind of like what Donald Trump does, you know? All these people can't wait to be his apprentice and do his stuff, do his work. And he can just, you know, fire everybody but the one best person to take over more of his job, and he makes a billion. Awesome. Well, that's what good pastors are supposed to be doing. Getting you ready to do more of the work of the ministry. So we've been after that. You know, we make sure that some of you have some of that. Offer that to you. But when the rigors of that start pounding on your life, how many know that when you're squeezed, never know what's going to come out. And some of what comes out doesn't look too pretty. What's that dirt in that face? I didn't put that in there. It was in there all the time. You know, you start to say things and complain about things and do things when the pressure is on. That's how you know there's some deficits. You want to run. Let me go. This FMI. Too much. You want me to do too much. Just say no. Others have. We still love them. Just say no. Because, you know, it's not FMI that's putting the pressure on you. We're just trying to do what Holy Spirit has us do as a community of believers. You can do as much of that as you want to do. And you can do as little of that as you want to do. And we'll still love you. Because He still loves us when we don't feel like doing something. And it takes us a while maybe to get to the place where Paul was able to get. I die daily. I die daily. So don't think of yourself as a pothole. I don't want that. I want you to think that there's love deficits that bring about fears. And so you wonder, why in the world am I fearing this or fearing that? Why am I running from Pastor Mary Pat? What is it about her that makes me run? When, you know, she's supposed to be a prime figure, a prime leader in my life. Why am I running? You know, I come in and she says hi. I go, hi, hi. Got to do something over here. Taking care of something important. If you notice that within yourself and you're not running towards her because you feel the love, there could be a pothole in there, a love deficit. Now, don't expect that we're going to come to you one day and say, okay, you've been running. Why don't you just keep on running? It's getting tiring chasing you. Just, you know, there's a door there. Just run. Because we don't do that. Because the Father has chased us down many, 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 many times. And he's caught us, captured us with his love. And so many of those potholes have been filled over in our life. That's why we offer the extra that we have, the extra love from him that we have, that we're not using to fill in potholes anymore. We offer it to you. Because he gives you extra so you can splash it onto somebody else. Well, I don't know why I don't want to go out and minister. I don't know why I don't feel like, you know, I want to give to somebody else. Because when you have this love deficit and it ends up being fear that comes out of there, that fear makes you selfish. Makes me selfish. Now, in the New Testament, they're trying to move us towards selfless. Selfless. Self. Sounds so good. But maybe, just maybe, you know, by yourself, you would never splash negativity on someone else. So you're by yourself. You're thinking of all the ways to avoid a closer relationship with people that are challenging your life while looking like you're very open to that. It could happen. Just a thought. It could happen. Now, if you've had a pattern of doing this with other leaders in your life, you know, school teachers, you just want to go into class, not have a relationship with the person in charge, just do what you're supposed to do and run away. Try to run away from as much homework as possible. It can be a thing that you carry on in life. Leaders are to be run from. Teachers, policemen, dare I say, what do you think when you drive by a police car? Do you say, oh, there's someone protecting our community? Isn't that great they're out there in an unmarked car beside the road? Checking on my speed to see if I'm helping others to be safe. Isn't that great? I pay them to do that. So much better than them being at the donut shop. Or do you say, what's he doing there? You know why that one's fresh? Did that this weekend. What's he doing there in an unmarked car as I'm going by a little faster than I should? On the way to a Christian conference. I'm mad at the guy that's protecting the community from me. What's the deal with that? I should be patting him on the back. Thanks for slowing me down. Thanks for protecting those other people on the road from me. But you see, I want to go the speed I want to go at times. And the other people are supposed to be in their spots. If I want to pass, they're supposed to move over. If a truck's in the way, he's supposed to see who I am in that Accord and move over so I can go by. Have a smooth transition to where I'm going. If there's a police car on the route, what are you there for when I'm driving this route? You should get those other guys that are in front of me that sped by me on the way to their destination. Might be a problem there for me to work on. I don't know. But I know it has something to do with selfish rather than selfless. Because if I was really thinking of others, I would thank the policeman. Thank him for being there. Thank him for doing his job. What else are they going to do? They're supposed to be out there. What am I upset that they are for when I'm driving? Doesn't make any sense. It points out to me I might be just a little bit selfish. Maybe. Need some growth there. Let's go to Philippians 2. Ha, fooled you. I'm going to the Bible. Actually, go back to chapter 1 for a moment. One of the things that Paul prays, verse 9, after he says in verse 8, I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of us may read that and say, oh, he had to say that. He knew he was going to be in the Bible. So he had to say he had affection for them because he knew he was going to show up in the Bible one day. But I actually think he believed and had that affection. He really cared about people. Verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Abound in love. It's kind of like the pothole that has so much extra asphalt. God has provided all of that for us so that we can have our love deficit filled in. We won't have the fears leading to the selfishness because he's provided it to abound in our life. Abound so much that we love others. We have our own love deficit filled in, so we just go ahead and use the extra from God to love others like he wants us to. Now to chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now some of you know that every year in December, December, we have Gift of Christmas here in this building. And we bring in people from the inner city, families that contact us with needs around Christmas time, and we don't shut it down for anybody. Just anybody can come. We drive them out to Kmart, Walmart, give them a budget for shopping. They shop for their gifts. We bring them back here, and they wrap their gifts. We give them more gifts. We open up a clothing room, and they go in there, and they get clothing and entertainment and food, a big meal in the overflow room in there. And this place is just hopping with lovers. We're just loving on people that day, man. We are selfless, loving on them. Don't change it. Wonderful. Great thing. And we say, wow, that gift of Christmas, that was awesome. We were all in unity. We're all loving one another. And nobody that ministers that day, seems to me, has a love deficit that day. And a lot of it is, it's so encouraging that everyone's working together in unity to love on those people. If you've ever been part of that, you know what that feels like. When people come out of their seats, when we give a call for the gospel and we say, Jesus is calling you home. Come home to the Father's love. Come and receive Jesus. He can forgive all your sins. He died for you. He loves you. You're treasure to Him. Come and receive Him. Come home. Come home. And they literally, at times, run to receive Jesus. After all of us cast off our love deficits for the day, let Jesus fill those in for us and splash it on these people. And we all leave here just filled up so much, knowing that Jesus loves us, loves them. We're giving out love all day long. They're receiving it. Many of them are giving it back to us. They're giving love to God. We're all worshiping the Lord. He's getting love. We're getting love. Everybody's getting love. Love, 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 love. The whole thing. Love, love, love. We need to call it the gift of love. Forget this gift of Christmas. It's about love that whole day. And it's fun. It's energizing. It's great. But I'm telling you something. It's easy. It really is. That day is so easy. Because we allow the Father to give us the extra we need to love on. It's the other 364 days of the year. They're a little harder. When there's not all of us at Legend, or not all of us at Heartland, not all of us at Mount Union. It takes a sacrifice to get there. You know, you're not feeling that great about your own life, and now you're supposed to be ministering that night to someone else. Feel a little more alone then. Or when there's that person in front of you that, you know, you're by yourself and something happens, you just can't muster up enough to really speak to them or love on them at all. Just kind of overcome that day, just worn out. Well, I'm tired. I did this. We make our own excuses. All I'm saying is, let's look at our love deficit. How deep is the pothole? Or is it filled in and we're just giving out of the extra? If there's a problem with it, it may end up why it reaches your lips and you speak it out to people. And then you have to ask for forgiveness or not. It you know, something comes out, the selfishness comes out, and you hear it. You don't have to hear it in the spirit. It came right out. and you spoke it to someone else, and then you're almost like, I didn't mean to tell them that. They might tell somebody that doesn't know I'm selfish. Oh my gosh! Somebody will find out I'm selfish! Maybe I'll go to him real quick and say, you know, I didn't really mean what I said. You know, I was just having a bad day, and I really didn't mean anything. You know, oh, I love Frontline. Oh, I love Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat and the leaders. Oh, God. Or we can take it as an indicator. And we can always say, well, we're not perfect.
Amen.
Grace covers it all. Love covers it all. In fact, when people tell me that you've been talking about me, it's kind of like, people are people. Maybe I need to love on that person a little bit more. Spend a little bit of time with them. Take them out to one of my offices. The Corky's, Panera Bread, Samantha's. You know, is that one of my offices, or is that where you're wanting to go? Any restaurant. I can always open up a new office. I'm open to that. But honestly, when we, you know, we hear, think we don't hear. I mean, people talk to us. This is a close group. And we hear when those things fire out of your mouth. I hope the next time I'm with you, that I just take some of that extra love that he's filled in my pothole with, and I just throw it all over. Because it's not going to be me getting upset about that, taking it personal or whatever, that's going to solve it. It's going to be just what solves it in me. The love of Jesus. When I allow something to come out of my mouth that's from my fears, it's the love of Jesus that's going to take care of that. Not, you know, God going, naughty, naughty, Billy. Now, I gave you a mommy that taught you better than that. That won't help me. But receiving more love will fill in that deficit, and suddenly, wow, I'm giving out love rather than going into depression, complaining, you know, all the various negative things that we do as human beings. So I'm suggesting to you today, if you've noticed something, you're running away from leadership. You're running away from God while you're saying you're after him and you want to be close to him and all of that. If you just notice that within yourself, it could be just a love deficit in there. That's so correctable. It is. It's so correctable. I mean, I left a church one time because they talked only about love. Can you imagine? I've been trying to find a church like that ever since. But I was young, you know. Thought, gosh, all this church ever talks about love, you know. My gosh, does he ever have another sermon? Can he talk about any other topic? Maybe that's the only topic he ever researches. Critical, you know, judgmental. Got to the point where I started looking around for somebody who could teach the word. And I found him, too. They were building a new church. This guy was such a good teacher of the word. I went in there, man. I took every note I could take. I got every tape I could get. Man, this guy knows how to teach the word. I'm changing. I'm learning. I'm getting it from the best in the city, man. That place was talking about love. Hey, we got it, okay? How much love can you talk about? We got it. We got that message. Give me something challenging. Within a year, we found out that the Bible teacher that I respected so much, right on with the Word of God, was ministering out of his anointing because he was not ministering out of his character. he had had a long-term affair prior to coming to this church he was at and another church, and had carried it on through the time that he was teaching those wonderful Bible lessons and challenging our socks off to be more obedient. Might have been a love deficit in there somewhere. Maybe you could have learned something from that old hat pastor that I had who was talking about love all the time. He had some kind of deficit that led him to commit adultery over and over and over and over again. And the whole church just fell apart. Now, it was revealed after I moved to Ohio. So I escaped all the stuff that happened with that church. The heartache, the pain. Now, can that be forgiven? Absolutely. It's a love deficit. It needs to be forgiven. Somehow or other, that needs to be worked through. He needs to clean up his mess. All of that. But does it cause heartache? Yes. Does it tap the fears of a lot of people that they can't trust leaders? Absolutely. It takes a while to work through that as a church. So I began to learn that just because somebody can minister out of their anointing, or they can do pretty well, they look pretty good, they look pretty normal, and they have all the Christian words and everything else, there still might be a love deficit in there. That I want to be an instrument to help. I want to help. It's a cool thing to see these potholes get filled in to overflowing, and then the traffic of life go over them, and they last. All the challenges of life. All the things that could be fearful, like a medical condition, like a financial disaster. All these things could be so fearful because their love deficit has been filled in by Jesus. They can face anything. In fact, in chapter 4, 4:13, in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can get to that point where there's nothing that's going to be fearful, so fearful in your life that you can't handle it. We were sharing with someone that we found out was part of the malaria miracle that we had a couple of years ago. He was the one that drove Heidi Baker to the hospital. And Josh was in a car right behind him as they rushed to get to the hospital so that Heidi Baker could pray for us when we were at University Hospital, both with malaria. And he was recounting how he just got through the barrier before they closed the barrier, like five cars behind him, because Obama was in town and he was speaking at Cleveland Clinic, which is right beside University Hospital. How he was so happy to be part of that miracle of Heidi Baker getting there and praying for the two of us and so on. And we were able to tell him more details about what happened after that. How God healed Pastor Mary Pat, healed me, and then healed Pastor Mary Pat and brought her back very quickly from a critical state. And he was excited about that. So, God is taking care of those huge situation and ministering to so many people, encouraging them while he does it. You have a medical emergency like that. What happened? Are you devastated? Are you so fearful that it overtakes you and the fear is worse than the actual condition? Or do you overcome the fear by receiving the love of the Father? And yeah, you have faith in the midst of that because of that. Because he brings you the faith when he comes. Love. And you're able to say, look, my God has it all in control. If I croak over, oh my gosh, I go to a better place. I can't lose. But I'm going to contend while I'm here to live, to live, to live, so that I can minister to more people, so I can love on more people, so I can enjoy the Father in this environment, His love and so on. Well, think about Jesus. Back to chapter 2. Let the mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How did Jesus reach that point of being able to go from unlimited God in heaven, part of the Trinity, you know, card-carrying member of the Trinity, which is way over our head. That's fine. It's supposed to be that way. And yet he's put in the form of a man. Think of that. How limiting that must be. Must have been. Incredible. Unlimited God. Know everything. Do anything. Go anywhere. Be everywhere at the same time. Now you are in one human body. Totally limited. By your choice. I chose to be limited. But does God make a choice like that? Yes, he does. How? Love. You don't make a choice like that just to be cool. Just to show you can do it. Go from unlimited to so limited in a body, that takes extreme amounts of love. And then to follow through with what he followed through with, to go ahead and live out on this earth in that body for almost 34 years, walking around, I chose this, I'm limited, and I'm happy. Jesus didn't go around going, stupid idea. My God, I'm in one body. I could be anywhere right now. I could be in the Bahamas. And I'm in this hot desert land of Israel. I can't even get under the shade. I got to walk around with these guys and they're always complaining. I can't even get a place under the shade because they want it. And yet, you know, he does that out of love, and then he's going to get beaten up for it. Great. Love everybody, heal everybody. Love, 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 Father's love, Father's kingdom. It's going to be for you, it's going to be for you. All this is going to be for you. Oh, I love you, love you. Oh, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. And let me heal you. Boom, 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 bam, 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 bam. Let's crucify him. That'd be the time when I'd start saying, hey, how about I become unlimited all of a sudden? And he didn't. He stayed in that body. Presented himself to be arrested. Peter tries to rescue him. Cut the ear off of the guy. You know, could have started a little revolution right there. Heals guy's ear. End of the revolution. Gosh, Jesus! Don't you know how this works? You're the Messiah, the sent one. Come take your place. I'll take my place. It's up there. That comes first. Humility before glory. Even with Jesus. He didn't escape it any more than we can. But you can't just grab yourself and go, don't be selfish! Don't be selfish! Stop it! That does not work. Be more obedient. That does not work. I guarantee you this morning, in pulpits all over this nation, there are pastors, they're preaching, be obedient. And the people are going, you're absolutely right. I need to be more obedient. That's it. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to reach out to somebody and actually, you know, not be selfish 24/7. I'm going to do it. I'm going to this time. Really, I'm going to do it. And the very next week, be obedient. Okay, this time I'm going to do it. I meant it last time, God, but this time I really mean it. I'm going to shed a tear or two this time. I'll show you, God. I made it. I'm going to be obedient. I went through years of my Christian life that way, and I was absolutely rather successful. I'd look back and actually changed. I actually was going up a little bit in my obedience. But I felt bad every time there was a message on obedience. Or anytime somebody talked about prayer. Oh, I should pray more. You're right. I should pray more. They'd talk about the word. I should pray more. I should. I really should, God. Help me. I'm just stupid. Or sin, you know, I'd think of the whole list. Was I enjoying the Christian life? Could I? Yes. When someone talks about sin now, you know what I think of? Jesus paid it all. Woo-hoo! I want to repent. It's refreshing. Oh, thank you, Lord, for taking care of it all. And you forgot it all, too. How'd you do that? You chose to forget it all. Forgot it. Some of you don't believe it. That's why I said it real loud. He forgets it. There's no movie screen in heaven. With all your stuff. This is what you did while you were on the earth. Caught ya! We have it all videotaped. It's in HD. Actually, SHD. Supernatural HD. Right up there. See, we caught you. Every detail. Every rotten attitude. Every stink. Thing you ever did. Saw that screen. That's how I grew up. I don't know how you grew up, but that's how they tried to keep us in line as teenagers. They figured we had done some stinky things if we were 16. So they were going to tell us, there's a movie theater in heaven waiting for you, buddy. And I found out somewhere in my Christian life, God forgets. God forgave. God threw it as far as the east is from the west. I just started receiving the love of Jesus. It's like, whoo, that's much better. Hear me. He can do far more with his love than he can do with his condemnation. That's why he chose love. He could scare us to death into doing stuff. But that's for pastors. He doesn't do that. You know, if you don't do this right now, you're going to go to hell. If you do this, you're going to go to hell. To hell. And to hell. You know, that leaves an impression. But it's not what God does. He emphasizes the love. He does tell you about hell. And then gives you the choice. Let's see, would you rather dive into my love or would you rather dive into the fiery pit? I think I'll take the love. That's just me. But you know, we needed to get that by revelation. Because there's a lot of people choosing the fiery pit. They're choosing it. I don't want your love. Keep it, Jesus. Just make sure we're not like that as Christians. Oh, I've heard about the love. Just keep it, Jesus. Got enough. kind of like my fears. Kind of warm and fuzzy. Got used to them. You don't want to get used to them. I want to give them up. I won't have any friends if I, you know, get too crazy about God. I won't have any friends. Oh, friends have really helped you, huh? Those kind of friends. They've really helped you out. Woo. Yeah, they're lifelong. Like, they'd die for you in a second. Jesus died 2,000 years ago before we even started to live. It's real good news when you find out about that. Wow, I don't have to talk somebody into dying for me. Somebody already did. And I can be free in his love. Much freer than I can be free in my rebellion or my selfishness. How many are hearing this? You think I'm just mad? I'm not. I'm really happy. Because I'm hoping the Holy Spirit, in fact, I'm not hoping. I'm believing, trusting, knowing that Holy Spirit, because he kept laying this on my heart this week, he wants to solve your deficit problem. You know, the government. How many think they're really going to solve that? You know? Come on. The deficit. So why spend time talking about it? But this deficit can be solved. It can be filled in to the point that we have no fear anymore. I believe it. We can get to the point where no one could identify a fear in our life. Awesome. Because we're going to be a lot like Jesus. Tell me something here, feared. You don't fear crucifixion and offer yourself to be crucified. You don't fear anything. Come on. Just didn't fear. Why? He felt loved by his Father every second. Chose to be a man. Chose to be in our place. To show us it was possible to have the love deficit filled in. Fears taken care of, and this selfishness sucked out of our life. So that when we start to complain, we'll feel something inside like, this doesn't fit with my love. Remember? You don't have to complain. Everything's cool. I filled in all the deficit. You're right, Lord. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. I repent. I'm refreshed. I'm feeling better about things. What I don't want is for you to think about how much of a deficit you're in. I want you to think about how much is available outside the pothole to just scoop in there and let it pile up real high. Just bring it. Or bring it. Have an encounter with him to the place where you're transformed by that love. Let that message go deeper. The love message go deeper. All they talk about at Frontline, love, love, love. Well, wait a minute. They talk about presence, 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 and love, love, love. The two go together. You know, you can have an encounter with the one that loves you so much by drawing into his presence to the point that you are unrecognizable anymore. Some of you, I don't recognize you anymore. You've received so much of Father's love, you're a different person than you were. That's awesome. That's what we want for everybody. I sure hope you don't think to them, sitting here with my finger and pointing things out to you. That's the exact opposite I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is say, don't do that to yourself. You can't solve your own selfish problem. Only by receiving more of his love can that deficit be filled in. Only by encountering him, allowing him to take you apart fresh and brand new. Oh, well, I've already heard this, and I already took care of some things. Do you think he ever goes deeper? Ever? us to go deeper. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, punishment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Why do we fear leaders that could help us? Because we think they're about punishment. Somehow they will punish us for not doing what is right, or punish us because we have fear. We need to be freed from that. There are leaders that will do that, but they're not. Not about coming in and whipping the flock every week. It's about taking you out of the tall grass, drawing you close to the shepherd, letting you hear the heartbeat that he has in his chest. And it's a whole lot of fun to do that. It's about drawing you closer to Jesus, like you should with every person you meet. You look for an opportunity. How can I provide a runway that they can draw closer to Jesus? And then, what are their fears? What can I do with their fears? How can I help God? Draw your love in so that their fears are confronted by your love. So often, those people end up in fear when that all works. Why? Because they just can't believe God loves them that much. That just can't be. That he loves me that much. And he can free me that much. He wants to free me, not punish me. That's what he's really about. That's the real story. The rest are lies of the enemy to try to keep us down, keep us from soaring, keeping us from being totally free. So let's stand. I'd like you to put your hand on your heart if you're willing. Or both hands. Great idea. You know, part of this is moving from selfishness to selflessness. But I don't want you to put your hand on your heart and say, I will not be selfish. That's worthless. What I want you to do is put your hand on your heart and I want you just to say, I accept your love, Lord. I receive your love. Your gracious love made it possible for me to be free. I know what love deficit I have. How deep that pothole is. And I want to receive your love, filling it up to overflow. I reject fear. I cast it off with your perfect love. I receive all you have for me because you love me. That includes the fact that you don't want to punish me. Not here on earth. Not in heaven. because I know you. I've received you. I believe in you. I receive your love. Father, take away my fear and replace it with your perfect love. And I will look for the changes. And I'll give you the glory. I'll give you the honor. I'll give you the praise. The focus will be on you, Lord. Not on my fears. Not on my failings. Not on any deficit in me. But on your abundance. Your overshadowing love. Your wing that's over me. Your presence that's within me. I receive from your heart. When I notice I'm slipping, I will go to leaders. I will trust them that they care about my life, that they don't want to control me. They truly want to draw me closer to Jesus. They truly want to see my love deficit filled in. Want to see my fears cast into the deepest sea. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. I repent of my part in this, and I receive your refreshing. I receive your revelation. I receive your impartation to be free. To be free. Not fear punishment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just like hearing that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you at any time need further prayer, be sure and see someone in close to you or someone that you believe Holy Spirit's leading you to here in this body or elsewhere. But go ahead and get that extra dose. Good thing.
Okay. And we just have a few quick announcements. First of all, Mission Training Weekend for those